Caleb Armock's eyes opened. He peered up into the darkness, then sat up as the crisp knock sounded again on his bedchamber door. "Enter!" he called before whoever it was could knock a third time. No one was going to get past bodyguards under the command of Merlin Athrawes unless they had a most legitimate reason for being here, and Caleb's dignity wasn't so fragile that he had to insist on mountains of formal protocol. He climbed quickly out of bed, reaching for the robe Galvin Dakin had left in case he needed it. He was only halfway into it when the door opened. "Your Majesty." Merlin stood on the threshold, bowing slightly, and Caleb's eyes widened. Even now, he didn't know everything Merlin was up to, but the fact that Captain Athrawes needed a lot of time to do whatever it was had been made abundantly clear. And since it seemed so much more convenient for him to do whatever it was in the hours of darkness, the night duty outside Caleb's bedchamber almost always went to Lieutenant Franz Austin, Merlin's second-in-command in Caleb's personal guard detail, which made Merlin's sudden appearance interesting. "And I hope interesting is all it's going to be," Caleb reflected, remembering the other midnight messages Merlin had brought him. "Come in, Merlin," he said out loud, for the benefit of the other guardsmen, as he finished donning the robe and tied its sash. "Close the door." "Of course, Your Majesty," Merlin murmured, stepping inside and pulling the door closed behind him. "And now," Caleb said, a bit tartly as the door closed, "suppose you tell me why you've got me up in the middle of the night this time?" "Because, Your Majesty, it isn't the middle of the night. In fact, it's only about an hour until dawn. And it happens that in Chisholm, they're 5 hours ahead of us." Caleb's spine snapped straight, and his eyes widened. "I debated not telling you about it until after you decided to get up," Merlin continued. "Then it occurred to me that, however justified I might be in waiting, you, with the impetuosity of youth, would probably fail to see it that way. Indeed, the more I thought about it, the more it occurred to me that, with that undeniable degree of unreasonableness I've noted in you before, upon occasion, you might have felt I'd been remiss, somehow, not to awaken you immediately. Still, it did seem that 1 hour, either way, wouldn't have made that much difference. But, despite my own feelings on the matter, as a loyal servant of the crown, it was clearly my duty to... Unless you want to discover whether or not it's possible for a mere mortal to throttle a sage in, I'd recommend telling me what you came here to say, and not what you came here to say about whether or not you should have waked me up." "Well, if you're going to be that way," Merlin sniffed. Caleb balled one hand into a remarkably sinewy fist, and Merlin smiled. "All right, Caleb," he said in a much gentler voice. "I'm sorry. I just couldn't help teasing you." "You," Caleb said through gritted teeth, "have a very peculiar sense of humor. Did you know that?" "Yes, I do." Merlin reached out and laid one hand on the king's shoulder. "She's decided to say yes," he said.